Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of our tech podcast by Bosch Rexroth. My name is Robert Weber, and today we are talking about technology of electric drives, and I'm looking forward to Peter Fischbach. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, Robert.
Before we start to discuss a bit about your technology, please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners.
So, good morning. My name is Peter Fischbach. I'm in the E-Lion electrification team here in Ulm, Germany. My role is technical sales and product management.
And you are an engineer, right?
I'm an electrical engineer. I'm with Bosch Rexroth like for 30 years, 30 plus years.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So, and you started your career in the industrial sector, right? In automation, business and factory.
Correct. Yeah, factory automation, electrical machinery for the factories, steel mill, packaging machines, test stands for automotive, all kinds of applications. And the whole electrification movement started in the industry a long time ago, because in the old days, machines were hydraulically driven, pneumatically driven. And now with the invention of servo drives and brushless DC motors, that wave went through the industry. Yes.
And now you are now responsible for the mobile machine business. And where are there intersections between the industrial automation and the mobile machines?
So in principle, the functionality I need are exactly the same. In an industrial machine, I need to rotate the machine. I need to drive. I need to produce torque. I need to deliver power. I need variable speed applications, and that's exactly what a hydraulic drive today in a mobile machine does. Mm-hmm. The discussion now is, can I drive the machine, the mobile machine, electrically? And that's the same movement we have in the automotive industry. Traditionally, it was combustion engine. Now we are doing it electrically, and that's going to happen, or it's happening right now in the mobile machinery.
But it's more difficult in a mobile machine.
It is more difficult because it's a different environment. But as mentioned before, the functionality, I need an electric motor to deliver torque, power, speed, variable speed. It's exactly the same. What's really different compared to a factory application is the environment. In a factory, I have 0 to 40 degrees Celsius. Mm. I have no large humidity. It's usually fairly clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes. But that's why we have cabinets.
Yeah.
So on a mobile machine, there's no room for cabinets. There's no room for extensive housing. And I have an extreme temperature range in some cases. So mobile machines operate in mines. They operate on the fields. If it's a farming machine, we have alpine applications, yeah, like snow groomers and things, yeah, like that. So the spectrum of environmental influences is really, really great. I have shock if it's an excavator. Mm-hmm. I have shock events I have to cover.
So it's not easy to copy or to use the electric drives from the industrial sector in the mobile machines.
Correct, yeah. In an industry, typically machines are air-cooled. I, yep, have big fans. It's easy to do this. In a mobile machine, I have very high temperatures all the way to 85 or 100 degrees Celsius. So I have to invent, or I have to think about how I cool the system, how I protect it from the environment, how I mount the system into a mobile machine. And that's why we, with our E-Lion product range portfolio, we took all the innovations out of the automotive side, the Bosch automotive side, from the first traction systems for cars and trucks. We looked at the industry to take the software, to take the way to control motors. And we used our experience from the mobile machine hydraulic experience we have for decades in the Rexroth mobile division.
Let's talk about this one USP you mentioned, this robustness of the system. What did you do with the drive system to make it more robust compared to industrial applications?
So we rethought the whole cooling system. We invented, or we designed, a new cooling system, which is embedded in the housing. So it's optimum cooling flow. It shields, in example, the drive from the outside environment. Mm-hmm. We use liquid cooling, water glycol liquid cooling, which is typically rarely used in the industry, maybe in some plastic machines or so, but typically not. And we packaged the devices, the motor and the drive, in a very robust housing, which is still compact. We have three different power classes. For the inverter, an example, they are very, very compact. And we optimize the cooling. We optimize the way the motor is connected with the drive. We have a very robust cabling system with plugs, which are also rated for the environment. Mm-hmm. That's how we try to achieve that.
Can you describe, because you mentioned robustness and you gave us some hints to the architecture. Can you please explain once again the architecture of a drive system in a mobile machine?
Yeah, so the E-Line portfolio consists of a whole range of motors which can be adapted to the functions on a mobile machine. I can talk about that in a minute. Then we have matching inverters, also scalable. So we have three different power classes for inverters to drive the motors. Then in order to connect everything, we have a cabling system which is robust and simple to install for the OEMs. But in addition, we need a power distribution. If I have multiple axes on a machine where I drive, in one example is I drive the hydraulic, the implement hydraulic, I drive the traction system, I need more than one inverter, then I will also need a power distribution unit, which takes the energy from a battery, from a fuel cell.
This is a software?
No, it's a hardware. It's a hardware device, which is basically distributing the power to the individual inverters. Then we also offer auxiliary components, like specific components for onboard charger for the battery charging, DC-DC converter to produce 24-volt, 12-volt out of a high-voltage battery. So we offer basically components for easy integration. In addition, you mentioned it already,
software
packages, yes. One example.
How important are software packages?
Software packages are becoming more and more important. It depends on the OEMs. Some OEMs are eager to have their own machine control software, vehicle control software, but others, they don't have the engineering resources. They rely on easy connectivity to us, also some software packages. One example for software packages, if I have a diesel electric hybrid vehicle, I will need to manage the power coming from the diesel through the generator into the system. Mm-hmm. So in one example, if I accelerate or I have a very heavy working function going, then I will need the power on demand, and therefore I need to regulate the voltage in the system. And that software package needs to be fairly real-time, very fast, so it's embedded in our inverter as a software package.
So if you buy this converter as a customer, it's included, right?
It's an option, it's software. The software is included in the box, so to say.
Okay. So you mentioned this robustness. What about this topic scaling your technology? How important is it to scale a product like E-Line?
It is important to scale because in a OEM portfolio, typically they have machines with different sizes, different functions, and it is different to drive a traction system to driving a hydraulic system for an implement, in example. So in some cases, I want a long motor with a small diameter to fit it into the machine. But other application, maybe a diesel generator, I want a short motor with a large diameter. So you need to scale. You also need to scale in torque and speed. Mm-hmm. So we have different windings to adapt, like a hydraulic drive, the speed will be 2,500, 3,000 RPM. For a traction system, with a gearbox, I can go to 12,000 RPM. So there is a lot of variety in the application we have to cover. And in order to give the customer the best solution, we need a scalable system. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What requirements will the customer face when he decided to go with you, with your technology?
So in order to help the customer the best, it is important to know the load cycles, the driving cycles, the requirements from the field, because it will help us with our tools we offer, software tools we offer, to size everything optimum. If we don't have a lot of data, you can always like...
Everything is depending on data, right?
Exactly. You can always oversize it, but obviously cost is an issue, size is an issue, mounting space, weight of a vehicle is an issue. So you want the best solution with the highest efficiency, of course, too. So we allow the customer to scale the system easy. And the more data we have, the better we can use the overload factor, which is one point I wanted to mention. In an electrical drive system, I can use the overload capability of a motor.
Yeah,
like
that's interesting. Yeah, because in the industry, you have oversized drive system a lot, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And in the traditional hydraulic drive system, sometimes everything's sized for like a continuous power and there's no real overload capability. With an electric motor, our drive system, we have like 2.5 times overload for 60 seconds. So if I
can
have
you give an example, where is it important?
It's one example is like a simple excavator or telehandler where I have to load a shovel.
Yeah.
I go into a pile and I need a high force for a very short time. 10 seconds is a long time. So I can use the overload, and then I go on a driving function, which is really easy on the devices. Then they can cool down.
Yep.
But I don't need to have continuously that high torque, so I will use the overload. That's done by using the thermal capability of the devices. Every device has a heat capacity, and I will just use that. And then I also need a time to cool it down. So that's why the load cycle from the customer is very important.
And this is a USP, right? Not everybody can handle this technology.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes inherently with the technology, but we put a high focus into the overload, having a high overload.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more performance in the device to achieve that high overload.
And you missed, I think, one USP, because we have a whole episode on the topic safety, right?
That is correct. As it also evolved in the factory, like functional safety for machines, safety is always important. We want to protect people. We want to protect the machine itself. And that becomes important, or is important, on a mobile machine as well. So we offer safety functions in conjunction with the drive. It's embedded in the drive and the motor, but that's a separate podcast we're going to have.
Yeah.
It's a complex
topic, right?
Longer topic, which
we need an expert on safety for this.
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give us, please, an outlook. What are your tasks in the next weeks, months with your product E-Line?
So we are working, of course, on more software packages.
Always software.
Software packages.
Software eats a mobile machine.
Exactly. The hardware is done. Now we are also developing additional functional packages. One example is optimized hydraulic drive for implement.
Mm-hmm.
We call that Cytronics. It's also coming out of the industry. Mm-hmm. There we optimize the operation of a hydraulic pump, like power on demand. Not all hydraulic functions need the power all the time. And now that we have the capability of start and stop and regulate an electrical motor driving the pump, I can optimize. I can optimize for efficiency by using the efficiency maps of the motor and the pump and finding the optimal sweet spot for the efficiency. Or I want to optimize for noise, so I try to achieve a very low speed on the motor, so the pump is quiet, the motor is quiet, if it's required in some areas. So there's different software packages we are working on. Yeah.
We should record an episode on the software topic, right, too?
For sure, that's very important also to optimize the machine in the future. Yeah.
Thank you, Peter. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Have a good day.